And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, we're returning to Genesis 3:8. Uh-oh. We immediately discover that Adam and Eve could hear the Lord walking in the garden towards the evening, prompting them to hide. Ooh. This moment is fascinating, not for the sinfulness, but for the engagement from God. They could hear God walking in the garden. Well, what was that experience like? I'm deeply interested in understanding things like that. Next, God appears towards the evening, and while many have speculated about the reasons, nothing prior to this moment provides definitive authority to their interpretations. It could simply be because the evening marks the end of the day. One thing is clear. God's intent was to spend time with his creation on a daily basis. Interesting. And finally, God calls out to Adam, asking, "Where are you?" It wasn't that God didn't know Adam's location. Rather, God was pointing out to Adam that he was not where he was supposed to be at the expected time. God was calling him out, calling him on the carpet. There was no chance for Adam to hide indefinitely. God confronted his creation. That was true for Adam. And it is also true for everyone else, including you and me.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, oy vey, so much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio. We have proven that every show we have ever done. It's just radio. But we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show. That makes it very safe, very simple. David@hemusincrease.org. That's David@hemusincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, if you're in the ocean and really, really low, I don't know how the reception is. But you can try. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. What? 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, my friend. Going smoothly so far. That's great.
Everything's going well so far.
Yep. You guys got to pray
for us. Knock
on
wood.
Yeah. we got to pray for us tomorrow because we're going to be doing a little bit of recording. And
yep.
That has moments. Nothing like recording your own audiobook and like going, I don't like the way that sounded. I don't like the way that sounded. But so far, it's been going really well. So keep us in prayer because we'll be doing that tomorrow. Right? Okay. So many things to cover, so little time to do it. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can call us at the 972-445-0770 number. You can text us at 214-210-8483 Or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So what is it that you want to contact us about? What is it you want to reach out to us for? It can be a praise report. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to hear what the Lord's doing in your life. It's fascinating to hear what God is doing in people's lives. It's just absolutely fascinating. And if you really love the Lord, you just love to know whatever the Lord's doing, it's cool. Right? It doesn't have to be shared brilliantly. That's so absurd. Just tell it. People are always blessed by it. We always get responses when people share. But we also get responses when people pray for one another. And what's most amazing about praying for one another is how many people have a very, what seems to be specific prayer request, how that same prayer request, other people go, that's what I'm going through. It's almost bizarre or cool that that happens as often as it does. Not just that, but we also do just sharing with one another questions, maybe observations. We do, as you know, we're going to do some jokes. I have some really good jokes. We hope we'll get to them. Plus, we're going to do history. And then on top of all of that, we do Bible trivia. You better get ready for this one, and you should know this one, and you shouldn't even have to look it up. That's my attitude about it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 is your reference point. Martha begat Jesus because of her good works and her righteousness. That's why she begat Jesus. True or false? Martha begat Jesus because of her good works and her righteousness. True or false? Did she do it because she's so good? Because she's so righteous? True or false? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Got to think about that. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I'm going to help you a little bit with this one because I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. It was by the power of her own righteousness and works that she was able to begat Jesus. Now that I have restated this, we should know where we are at, right? It was by her own power and righteousness that Mary was able to give birth to Jesus, to have Jesus conceived in her. Because of her own righteousness and good works, that's why Mary was able to give birth to Jesus. Is that true or false? Sometimes you get a book question, you have to restate it because the way they state it is kind of goofy. All right? All right. Yeah, there you go. All right, people are now catching on. See, Martha begets, okay, now watch, folks. This is a trick question. Martha begat Jesus because of her righteousness and good works. It wouldn't be true even on the other person. All right, let's have somebody respond to it. There you go. Is that true or false? Somebody on the phone, send them through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is a guy from the Gilligan Island.
Ah, you know that the Lord helped Gilligan get off the island. So you must be off the island by now then, right?
Yes.
Awesome, my bro. All right, here we go. You ready? You ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Martha. Okay, I'll just say that again because most people missed it. Martha begat Jesus because of her righteousness and good works. True or false?
False.
It is false. That is correct. I'm going to go. My brother, who was it that begat Jesus? What is her name?
Mary.
That is correct, Amundo. And she did it by the power of...
the Holy Spirit?
That is correct, Amundo! That's right. Mary didn't do it because of her righteousness or her good works. It was the Holy Spirit that made that happen. That's right. Good job. So there was three sneaky things in there. Although, oh, Eric did say I should have used the horn on that one. He's probably right. Okay, bro, how are you? Three in a row, by the way. That's hitting for the cycle, so that's pretty good. How are you doing?
Well, that's the benefit of living in the Gilligan Island.
Plenty of time to listen to their radio. Get it? Because they had a radio there.
Yeah, and I do have a skipper and professor to help me.
That's great. That is cool. Awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, I have one thing to share, but then I have a serious prayer need.
Okay, so let's do the one thing to share first, and then we'll do the prayer need.
It's a thought. If Adam and Eve had been to Amazon, not the Amazon.com, but the Amazon jungle, they would have eaten the snake instead of the apple and saved us all a lot of trouble.
That is a very deep proverbial thought. That's where I'm going to leave that. We could have just eaten the snake, and that would have been fine. Not touching that with a 10-foot pole, but it is pretty funny. All right, there you go. All right, what do you got going on that we need to pray for you about, bro?
Well, pray for me. Doctor gave me some antibiotic, however, I think in the past, whenever I took it, it just gives me some upset tummy and sometimes a little headache. So just pray that I just started this morning that God will just protect me from those two things and that let the antibiotic will take care.
Okay, let's pray. That's cool.
My body.
Let's pray for the intent to be accomplished. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up Samson, our brother, to you. And Lord, I know I've been taking medicine before, and sometimes you kind of fear or anticipate it's going to have a bad reaction. I know that exact feeling, and so does everybody else who can hear us. But Lord, sometimes that medicine's got to do what it's got to do. That's one of the gifts you've given us in medicine. So we're asking that there would be not the side effects that have been there in the past, and that the medicine would just accomplish its goal as it's inside of him. And that, Lord, that gift of medicine, which you've given to us, would be effective for him and help him in his process and help clear up the struggle that he's going through. But more importantly, Lord, that Samson would not be afraid of it, but confident that, Lord, you will touch him inside his body so that his stomach doesn't overreact and that he doesn't have that same struggle he's had. I know many people are listening and thinking, that's a prayer? Of course, Lord. It's important to Samson. It's important to you. And we ask you to bring that protection for him on the inside and the protection of his mind against any fear. We ask for that grace to be granted him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, by the way, at the Gilligan Island, the time is 2:13 p.m.
That's good. Well, I'll just keep being Gilligan then. It's easier, okay?
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, God bless you, brother.
Oh, I love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye. All right, folks, DNA. Now, you got to really catch this on DNA. You have to catch this, right? The last 30 minutes of the show had a lot to do with DNA. I don't know if you recognize that or not. That's why that's so funny. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. And the reason every day is because you need the Lord every day. I know I don't need the Lord. That's how you felt before you knew the Lord. Now that you know the Lord, how much do you want to take all of that back? Right? Well, that's the same thing. Draw closer to the Lord daily. Draw nearer. You will never draw close enough until you are actually in his presence 100-fold 24/7, or by then beyond 24/7, whatever that means. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. We just talked about that. You can't be ashamed of the Lord. You can't be ashamed of him. Can't be ashamed of what he had to say. It doesn't matter what the people in the press say or the politicians say or any of those other people. They're irrelevant to your eternity. You understand that, right? You can tell me they're relevant to your living in society now, and I wouldn't argue with that at all. But they're not relevant in 70 years. None of them. But how you define your engagement in honor of the Lord, that is always relevant. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, so you got D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means you are on guard, ready. What do you want, Lord? Yes, Lord. Here we go, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. I present myself, Lord. I am ready to do whatever you want, Lord. I will say nothing. I will say something. I will pray. I will cry. I will weep. I will laugh. I will encourage. I will send an email. I will send it. Whatever the Lord desires, that you are ready to do it. That's what it is. Ready to serve and to honor our King, right? That is what we are called to. All right, take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, if anybody gets offended at this, I apologize that you have no sense of humor. Okay. Like that? That's a good line. Bam, bam. All right, here's the first one. A pastor was leaving his area and was saying farewell to his congregation at the church door for the last time. He shook the hand of an elderly lady as she walked out. She said, "Your successor won't be as good as you." "Well, nonsense," said the pastor in a flattered tone. "No, really," said the old lady. "I've been here under 5 different ministers, and each new one has been worse than the last." Ouch! Ouch! But this is the one that's going to offend people, which is irony, right? Because that's more offensive than this is, and this is just too... And if you guys get offended at this, I, you know, take a week off the show. But it seems there was a minister who had just all of his remaining teeth pulled and new dentures were being made. The first Sunday, he only preached 10 minutes. The second Sunday, he preached 20 minutes. But the third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. When asked about this by some of the congregation, he responded this way. "The first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my dentures were hurting a lot. The third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures, and I couldn't stop talking." Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where yours truly mentioned that it was Eric who said we needed the horn. It was actually Aunt Deb who said we needed the horn. I'm sorry about that, Aunt Deb. Every once in a while, the eyes are not as sharp. Like, didn't I just teach on that, not having the sharpest eyes after you turn 50? I think I did that last week. 1 week from today, we will be at the 5-year anniversary show, and I still have not yet figured out what I'm doing. Could just be a regular show. Could be testimony. I have no idea. Okay? Just letting you know. People are like, "What are you doing?" I don't know.
To celebrate, bring in absolutely no notes and just wing it.
If people knew how many times, right? Where it just happened last week on Thursday, right? I think it was Thursday where I came and I said to Jacob, well, this ought to be fun. I left my notes at home. That's like, well, you know. All right, here we go. Here is your next trivia question. Melchizedek. Now listen to the question. We're not going to play the horn, but I'm telling you now ahead of time. I'll do a minor horn. There's your horn. The bad chauffeur. Melchizedek was chosen by God to decorate the temple. Is that true or false? Exodus 31, 1 through 4. Melchizedek. Some people go Melchizedek. Melchizedek was chosen by God to decorate the tabernacle. Is that true or false? The temple. Is that true or false? Exodus 31, 1 through 4. True or false? If you think you know the answer, reach out to us. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. There you go. All right. I just consider stuff like this so fascinating. I'm weird that way, but I love stuff like this. One of my favorite things. Genesis chapter 3. We're picking it up off of, if you remember what we did, it was verse 7. At that moment, their eyes were opened and suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they strung fig leaves together around their hips to cover themselves. Okay, so let's enter into this, and then we'll go into the next segment. But here, listen to this. Super important that you get this, okay? So Eve gives Adam, her husband, the fruit, and he eats it too. Some texts, and in the Hebrew, it implies he was really close by. He was there as well. And like I said last week, some people think that Adam was on the North Pole and that Eve had to go hunt him down. And there's nothing in there that says that. And then some people get all mad and say, well, Adam should have protected Eve. And other people say, well, Eve should have not given that to Adam. And people that do that, they're doing the exact same sin that Adam and Eve did when they're confronted with God, which we're going to do next week. Just so you can know, people that say it's Adam's fault he didn't give her better instructions, there's nothing in there that implies that. It's Adam's fault he didn't protect her, there's nothing in there that implies that whatsoever. And in fact, Eve never should have been talking to the snake. That's just a fact. So that's ridiculous. But that blame shifting, we're going to cover next week. And then there's people that go, well, it's Eve's fault because Eve gave the fruit to Adam. It's like, well, she didn't take Adam and stick the apple down his throat. She didn't take the fruit and say, okay, well, you're going to eat this or I'm going to have my mother-in-law. See, he didn't have a mother-in-law. I have my mother-in-law stay with us for a month. I mean, I'm just saying, all that stuff's ridiculous, okay? She ate it. She was like, oh, this is great. Let's eat it. And Adam went, okay, let's eat it. That's what happened. They were in cahoots together. What happened, though, which is amazing, is at that moment, their eyes were opened. You want to know when they died? Right there. Because now they knew evil. Uh-oh. Before they were innocent. Innocence was lost. Their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt ashamed. Now feelings have now taken over and are now their train in life. It's not the truth. It's their feelings. What do we know about feelings? Eat 500 tacos and tell me you feel the love of God. You know you don't. But that doesn't make the love of God any less there or any less a part of your lives. So now they're operating under feelings completely wrong. And what do? They string fig leaves together and they put them over themselves to cover themselves. Here's a great question. I'm just trying to expand your thinking. Cover themselves from who? From what people? Well, let's see. There's God. Well, God was the one that put all the parts together. Well, there's the animals. So what you're going to tell me is that in their innocence, they were, you know, not concerned about the animals looking at them, but now they are concerned about their animals looking at them. Already you can see the power of sin seeping into their mind, into their decision-making, into their processing. And this is why we're adamant about fighting against sin. It's not a matter of whether you're saved or not. If you're a Christian, you know you're saved. But sin still impacts us. It still makes us polluted. It still perverts our thinking. It still ruins us. Which is why James says, you know, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. What do you mean that you may be healed? Because sin makes us sick. And we need healing. Will that cast you out in the presence of from the presence of God for eternity? No, but it will pollute you and hurt you. See, sin is pleasurable for a season, but after that season, gone. And look at Adam and Eve. I want you to think. I want you to process this with me, okay? They eat the fruit. And at that moment, their eyes are open. And suddenly they felt ashamed, and based on their feelings, which were not accurate, they've already died emotionally and psychologically, they're already polluted. They suddenly felt ashamed, and so they strung together fig leaves to cover themselves because they didn't want what? The bunny rabbit to look at them? What, they didn't want the whale to look at them? Nobody in the water was going to see them. Well, they thought that the hyena might come in and start making jokes. You see how weird that is? That's what I want you to see. I want you to expand that thought process you have to understand what's really going on in the garden. I know they try and make everything, you know, this, that, whatever. You got to think about being there. They're putting together fig leaves to protect themselves from the animals. It's like, wait, what? No, wait, that's only part of it, right? You can't miss. I give this credit to Bill Hanna, who was my associate pastor in one of my churches, who's going on to be with the Lord. You can't miss that they sowed fig leaves together, can you? Because what kind of leaf did Jesus curse but the fig leaf? Man trying to cover himself. Wow. That is not cool, right? Look at what that did. Look how much sin did in one verse. Look what it did. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things in one verse. It's like, what? All because they gave in to sin. Wow. All right, trivia question. Melchizedek was chosen by God to decorate the tabernacle. True or false? And that is false. Exodus 31, 1 through 4. Bezalel was actually chosen. Melchizedek was the one who met Abraham in Genesis, not in Exodus. We'll take a short break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried 3 days later, he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. And you might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like those people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Oh, this is a good one. Good one right here. Here we go. Anna was a seamstress who was a widow. I don't know what a widow is. I think it's supposed to be widow, not a widder. I don't know. You like that one? A widder.
It's okay. You haven't messed up too often today.
That's just. Anna was a seamstress who was a widder. Okay, Anna was a seamstress who was a widow for 84 years. Is that true or false? According to Luke chapter 2. Verse 36 and 37, Anna was a seamstress who was a widow for 84 years. Is that true or false? According to Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and 37, if you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. 8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website. Why are we doing that? Because we can. Lots of cool stuff, books, stuff up there. By the way, if you're interested in being an ambassador for the show, which simply means that if the Lord opens the door for you to share with somebody about it, you do. Be it business card or brochure, we give them to you free. There's no quota or anything weird. Also on the website is a place to list praise reports and prayer requests if you want to keep it like, what is that word they use? Like on the down low so nobody knows what's going on directly. That's fine. It's entirely up to you. We'll pray for you even if nobody ever knows about it. We don't care because we want to do what the Lord puts before us and do it right. So that's on the website, a place to give on the website. Very important because we need that to keep going. It's all quite simple. To draw closer to the Lord. Let's just do it together. Bottom line, check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Can't touch this. Touch this.
That's so good. I mean, isn't that good? Was it me?
There you go. Happy Monday.
I mean, that's right, right? I got a double today, right? I got my two. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. All right. Now, look, I asked this question, and I want to make sure you understand it, because I'm getting a lot of wrong answers, which is my one nice way of saying check your reference, okay? That's my way of saying that. I said Anna was a seamstress who was a widow for 84 years. Is that true or false? Your reference is Luke 2:36, which tells you specifically what Anna was. That's my nice way of saying double check. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we'll do our history.
Let's go live it in the past.
All right, I will confess, I have not tried this food. So you may have, all right? It is oatmeal nut waffles day.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Me neither.
That sounds nasty.
I don't even know. I just don't know what to do. It's World Plumbing Day. Everybody should be very appreciative of that. It's Johnny Appleseed Day. That's the bill where I talk about the lard. You know, the lard. The lard is good to me. It's like, what? Doesn't he know lard's bad? Okay, anyway. First armed car robbery on this day in 1927. So that means, I mean, just think about that. So that means, what, 97 years ago, right, there was the first armed car robbery. Isn't that weird? It's like so bizarre.
And how long have cars been a thing before that?
I would say like 1914, 15 in that range.
Okay.
Somewhere in that range.
Just so it took a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it did take them a little bit, right? That's funny. Now, you guys might laugh at this, but for those who are my age and older, it wasn't funny to us. 1971, the Partridge Family had their first big hit song. And it's not the I Think I Love You. Well, that was second big hit. There was Doesn't Somebody Want to Be Wanted. It was the first certified gold song they had. I just thought that was interesting. Yes, I had that album. Just saying. Hey, you can't run from that. I want to. You just can't. That's all I'm saying. Anna was a seamstress who was a widow for 84 years. Is that true or false? Luke 2:36-37. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. 214-210-8483 is the text. David@hemustincrease.org is the email to the actual Bible text. We go. If we get a chance, we'll do some of the jokes in the next segment. So after this thing happened with Adam and Eve, verse 8, toward evening, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid themselves among the trees, and the Lord called to Adam, "Where are you?" Okay, let's stop, because I won't get past this. Here's what we know, and this is the stuff I find amazing, actually, okay? We know that Adam and Eve did what they were not supposed to do. We know that God knew Adam and Eve were going to do of... He knew what they were going to do before they did it. How do we know that? Because the plan was already in place to bring redemption before they, you know, anything happened. And by the way, for those that are not aware, the Bible says that Jesus was chosen the Lamb of God before the foundation of the earth. Why would you choose a lamb before the foundation of the earth if you weren't going to need one? Get it? Okay, got that. Simple. All right? Towards the evening. Now, this has been a thrill for many theological people because to them it means A, B, C, D, or E. And I'm going to tell you right now, not as a doctor of strategic Christian ministry, not as somebody who has a master's degree in theological studies, I'm going to just tell you right now, I don't know. That's your answer you get from me. Man, I don't know. Here's what we know. The evening time, some have speculated that this is something that has to do with how the evening and the morning were the first day, and so that proves it's 24 hours. There's nothing to indicate that proves anything. It doesn't prove anything. What we know for sure is that the evening, get ready, ends the mark of the day. We got that? I mean, we understand that. It's the end of the day. Got it. Right? Why? Because it becomes evening, and then the light's changing and the darkness comes. That's what's clear. And what we also know is this one thing that is more important than anything else that anybody else can come up with, including everybody's brilliant theological ideas, is simply this. God intended to spend time with his creation on a regular basis, so God is heading into the garden at the evening time to hang out with his creation. That is the picture we get. So what I love, or what I look at and think, oh, fascinating, is Adam and Eve heard the Lord walking about in the garden, coming into the garden. How did that happen? What does, I mean, I have to think of Jurassic Park, where you see, you know, the trees and the bushes and everything squishing and you can't see anything behind them. I mean, that's what the first thing I think of in my mind, because I got that kind of mind thinking about movies and stuff. And we don't know how it is that it happened. We don't know if there was something that went in front of the Lord, behind the Lord. I have no idea. Zero. Nobody knows. You can't add to it. Can't take away from it. We just know they heard the Lord coming into the garden. Number one, God anticipated or had a time where they were to spend time together. Number one, Adam and Eve heard God. Number two, they had a time together. Number three, Adam and Eve ducked. We got that. They bailed. We got that. And what's important about this is to understand that the Lord is coming to hang out with his creation. Do not think for a second that the reason that Jesus is called the second Adam is a coincidence. What was it that God was intending to do with Adam and Eve coming in the cool of the day or in the evening? He was intending to spend time with Adam and Eve. And Jesus being the second Adam, that's exactly what God expects of us. That's why he's another, that's why he's the second Adam, so that we won't run and hide. The Lord wants to fellowship with you. Here's the thing that I think people miss. We think at times that we come before the Lord and the first thing God does is scan us. Like he does a scanner on us. Ah, look at that thought process there. That was evil. Ah, look at that. Oh, look at those words you used. Oh, look at that attitude you had about this and about that. Oh, look at those attitudes you got, you know, growing up there about your government and everybody's response to it. Oh, look at how you're picking sides and how you don't like people. Ah, look at that. Look at God isn't doing that when he's coming to fellowship with you. God knows all of that stuff before you were ever in existence. He still chose you to hang out with you and to fellowship with you. What God wants is to fellowship with his creation. He's not there to rip you to shreds. Even when it talks about us asking for wisdom, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and without finding fault. Well, if God doesn't find fault with you when you're seeking wisdom, why is he going to find fault with you when you're seeking fellowship? It's just ridiculous. He wants to hang out with you. He loves you. He didn't do all this for nothing. He did it so he could hang out with you. Get it? All right. On the trivia question, Anna was a seamstress who was a widow for 84 years. She was indeed a widow for a great deal of time, but she was not a seamstress. She was a prophetess. So the answer is false. Oh, good one, Dave. All right, we'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There is this pursuit in people to find happiness, and we've just been revving up and going through the one person who had the capacity, who had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do in order to find happiness. We find out that as Solomon, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us, he tells us all these different things that he tries. What he's seeking to do is find what is something that drives men, what is something that drives women, what is something that drives children, people, humanity, to just keep going when everything seems vain and everything seems meaningless or everything seems frustrating. And so he goes through, because his resources are unlimited, if you'll keep that in mind, he goes through a whole litany of things. He goes through searching in through knowledge and wisdom, talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1:12-14, finds out that's not the answer. He does it in partying and drinking wine. I lived in Temecula, it's wine country, part of wine country in California. Solomon had more wine than these people could ever dream of. He talks about that in Ecclesiastes 2:1-3. He talks about building a house, personal accomplishments, doing a garden. He had artistic works involved. Everything you can imagine Solomon was doing. I mean, he was doing it all. He's creating gardens. He had amassed a ton of wealth. He had high levels of entertainment. He had male and female singers. The guy had more sex than any person could ever even imagine. And he had superiority and control. And he gets to Ecclesiastes 2. And when he gets to Ecclesiastes 2:10-11, he says, "When I surveyed all that my hands had done and had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He could not reach the level of satisfaction that he was searching for. That was his conclusion. He poured resources. He did this, did a lot of stuff. So he gives two hints, two declarations, I should say, not really hints, to help us understand what is the answer to pursuing happiness. Ready? Here it is. I'm telling you, this is the biblical answer. There's no other. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 2:24-26a. A person can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. The answer, Solomon said, is God has to give it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12-13. I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your last trivia question. Get ready. Get ready. Again, you guys should know this. I'm not trying to be mean when I say that. I just think people should know this. Here we go. The last prophecy about Jesus, or slash the Messiah, but you would say Jesus, because Jesus is the Messiah. The last prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament is in Micah. True or false? The last prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament is in Micah. True or false? All you got to do is look at your Old Testament and check out what the last book would be, and that will give you your answer. Hint, hint, hint. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Get that? All right, now listen to the question. The last prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament is in Micah. True or false? I can't give you the reference point because that will not help you. I do have a joke. It is not a one-liner, but it is a very funny joke. So I feel in my heart of hearts that, Jacob, you will, in fact, like this joke. How about that? I'm going out on a limb.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Here it is, folks. All right, here we go. These boys were causing an awful lot of commotion at the zoo, Your Honor, the zoo attendant said. Boys, said the judge sternly, I never like to hear reports of juvenile delinquency. Now I want each of you to tell me your name and what you were doing wrong. My name is George, said the first boy, and I threw peanuts into the elephant pen. My name is Larry, said the second boy, and I threw peanuts into the elephant pen. My name is Mike, said the third boy, and I threw peanuts into the elephant pen. The fourth boy said, my name is Peanuts. Come on, that's a good joke. That is a good joke, right? I threw peanuts into the elephant pen. Come on. How
that
about
was a
that
really
one?
Good one.
That was a really... my name is Peanuts.
That generally made me laugh pretty good.
That's a good joke, folks. That's right. I threw peanuts in the elephant. Wasn't expecting that. Okay. All right. Back to the trivia question. One more chance. I can't hold your hand on this one. Here we go. That's so mute of me to say that. I can't hold your hand on this one. The last prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament is in Micah. Now, for that to be true or false, you would have to somewhat know Micah. You would also have to know what the books are in the Old Testament. That would be helpful as well. True or false, that's your question. The last prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament is in Micah. True or false? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Here you go. I just love these kind of teachings, and then we're just about to hit into Romans. We're getting through Romans 3, getting into Romans 3 tomorrow. We're just about to break into the coolest stuff in Romans. We're just in this coolest stuff in Genesis, so I love this stuff. Here it is, the next statement, and this is all just in the garden. Think we're just in Genesis 3. How long will this take? Who knows? So toward evening, they heard the Lord walking about in the garden, so they hid themselves among the trees. The Lord called to Adam, where are you? Now, this is so critical. I mean, we're just at two verses in. So God is walking in the garden. How? I don't know. We already said that. I mean, I don't know how that came about. He's expecting or anticipating, or said better, there's an appointed time where he's expecting Adam and Eve and him to kind of powwow together. That's kind of cool. And God, towards the evening, forget the speculation, whether it's the end of the day or whatever it is, God is planning on spending time with his creation on a daily basis, which again is our testimony for us to recognize that. Then God says this. Where are you? So the Lord called out to Adam, where are you? Okay, see that? Oh. Where are you? This is not that God did not know where Adam was. You just gotta, of course the Lord knew where Adam was. God created the universe, let alone the earth. Do you think he knows every nuance, every inch, every centimeter of the earth? Of course he created it. And so God is pointing out to Adam, you are not where you are supposed to be at the expected time. Oh, I've only shared this once, I think, in all radio. I don't think I've shared this before, but I just got reminded of it while I was sharing this with you. I got to share it. So in between ministry and radio, before I went into radio, okay, so I had done quite a bit of ministry, but I had not yet gone into radio. My mom had died. I love my mom. She was a superb mom. Loved her. She was the best, okay? I mean, she was as best as far as I'm concerned. This is me to say it that way. I wouldn't put that on a scale. But after she had passed, a couple of years after, before I went into radio, I had a dream. And my mom, in the dream, was planting flowers on the side of the church, of a church that I had attended. And I'm in my dream, I walk up and I'm looking, and it's my mom. There's no, you know, not an angel, anything. It was my mom. And she looks at me and she says, "Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to do in there?" This is in a dream I had. "Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to do in there," pointing inside the church. And that was the dream. And I'm telling you, I mean, I've written down, I mean, everything is written down 10 times on this. That was the Lord using my mom, maybe giving me a little bit of comfort that she was where she needed to be, which is, you know, cleaning up. But that's a whole separate issue between me and the Lord. And I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I think it is. But I think the Lord was saying to me, "Where are you? Aren't you supposed to be in there doing stuff?" Adam was not where he was supposed to be. He wasn't where he was supposed to be at the expected time. God was calling him out. There's no chance of Adam to hide from God. God confronted his creation. That's what I think happened in my dream. God was calling me out. "Dave, why aren't you in there? What are you doing? Why are you on the outside? Get in. You're supposed to be doing stuff in there." From that dream came the very beginning foundations of discussing and thinking about a radio ministry. I mean, how weird is that? Is that as powerful as the Word of God? No. But is it powerful? Yes. Of course it is. Don't be in a place where God has to say to you, "Where are you?" We're supposed to gather together. All right, in regards to the very last trivia question, okay? The last prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament is in Micah. False. The last prophecy about Jesus is in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, the very last book in the Old Testament. Okay, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.